Please listen carefully.
I'm Jasmine Lopez, and you're listening to Making Contact.
Hi.
Hi.
Can I talk to you a sec?
Sure.
When you were pregnant with Emma, did you ever think of having an abortion?
Yeah.
But you didn't, because you knew it was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know somebody's going to have an abortion today.
Who?
And I've tried to talk her out of it, but she just won't listen to me. Could you try? She might listen to you. You're a mom.
Oh, right. So I'm an expert.
1 in 3 women will have an abortion in her lifetime. Yet in pop culture, accurate portrayals of real people's stories are rare.
Having an abortion was wrong for me. Maybe she feels it's right for her.
But you just said it was wrong.
For me. But that was my choice.
But she's choosing something wrong.
Maybe. Maybe not. I mean, it's great to have, you know, high ideals and stuff. But when you're in that situation, right and wrong, they can get really complicated.
In this show, we hear about reproductive decision-making and representations of abortion in song, on TV, and in movies. Up first,
I think about this stuff all the time. I feel like once you start working in this work, it's like everything you do all the time. It starts to be, for me at least, starts to be like there's nothing I can do that doesn't get on my nerves with the way abortion is talked about in different spaces. It's like turn on the TV, watch a commercial, look at a bus ad. It's like everything. It's all around us.
But what do these stories mean, and how do they impact people making these decisions? We begin by listening to songs in the key of choice with Samara Azamiu and Alicia Walters.
I'm Samara Azamiu. I'm the executive director of Access Women's Health Justice. We run the Reproductive Healthline for California and are based here in Oakland.
So I'm Alicia Walters, and I'm the movement building director at Forward Together, which is an organization that is striving to ensure that all families and individuals have the resources, rights, and recognition they need to thrive.
Up first, we listen to Nick Cannon's 2005 song, Can I Live? In it, Cannon sings about his mom's decision not to have an abortion when she was pregnant with him. In the song and video, Cannon follows his mom to a clinic where he pleads with her not to have an abortion. The song ends with a group of kids wearing t-shirts with Can I Live on them. So what did Samara and Alicia make of this?
I think the thing that stands out to me most is the moment in the video where there's like a choir of 20 kids wearing big white t-shirts that say Can I Live on them. And it's just really intense. I think as somebody who has a four-year-old and I've worked in education, I feel like it's really easy to pressure kids into making a statement that's in line with the adult who's talking with them, I guess. So to me, it feels like he just paid 20 kids to advance his message, and it just feels really, that feels pretty yucky.
And I wonder if it's his message, you know? I wonder, from watching the video and listening to the song, you know, in the end he says, this is just my story, I'm not trying to pass judgment. Mm-hmm. And I can get behind that. I can imagine that that's a difficult story. One of the things I was thinking is, the reality is, most people in that position, most women with facing an unplanned pregnancy, may have to be making a similar decision. You know, he's not alone. You know, it's not a rarity that a woman is trying to decide what to do with an unintended pregnancy. Because mm-hmm. It did have this air a bit of like, do you know what you're playing with, Nick Cannon? Mm-hmm. You know, like, this is not just a, you know, a benign issue that you're taking on in telling your story. It's not just that it's a hot political issue. It's a very personal issue for many people. So to kind of throw up your hands at the end and go, oh, but I'm not being judgmental.
Right.
That's a little hard to say, you know, in this context with this issue. I'm kind of interested to know if he knows if he's intentionally putting forth a particular message.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really look to celebrities for genius, I suppose. So one of the things that really stood out to me, and echoing on what you were saying, that the decision around what to do with an unplanned pregnancy is not uncommon. And just to put that in context, that 1 in 3 women will have an abortion in their lifetime. So I think, I don't know, I just felt like throughout the song, it seems like this is something that he's thought about, like, how would this impact his own personal existence? But it doesn't seem that he's really deeply thought about what it means for his mom. And just in the end, like, I love my mother for giving me life, a strong woman that had to make a sacrifice. But it doesn't seem like he really, really talks about all the sacrifices that his mom makes. He just talks about what it means to him that she's thinking about these things.
The experience. He does mention earlier in the song, having me, that will ruin everything, and you can't kill your dreams and things like that, and you don't want to be in the WIC line. And so I think there is some acknowledgement, but it's almost like in passing, you know, which is, I think, how this culture deals with pregnancy and abortion generally.
I thought was really interesting is he's got this song talking about his mom's decision and mentions being Oprah-bound. And, it, like, I don't know if he's never heard Oprah's life story or that Oprah has talked about her abortion or the very complicated childhood that she had. So I think that's just interesting that he brings up Oprah in the song but doesn't acknowledge the life of Oprah behind just being this marker of success, like, if you get to be on Oprah. This might just be me being, like, I'm old and cranky, you know, but I feel like Tupac wrote much better songs about his mother. And,
Thank you.
Other people have,
yes,
people of my generation wrote these wonderful songs about their moms.
Exactly.
So I just feel like, to me, I'm just like, oh, Nick Cannon. Maybe later in life, your songs will speak to me more.
Yeah.
From Nick Cannon to Nicki Minaj. Up next, I asked Samara and Alicia to give me their take on Nicki Minaj's song Autobiography.
This is the autobiography of Nicki Minaj.
Minaj takes us from her difficult childhood to her painful breakup, and finally, her feelings about a decision to have an abortion.
Please, baby, forgive me. Mommy was young. Mommy was too busy trying to have fun. And now I'm patting myself on the back for sending you back. Cause God knows I was better than that. To conceive you, to leave you. The concept alone seems evil. I'm trapped in my conscience. I adhere to the nonsense. Listen to people who told me I wasn't ready for you. But how the f*** would they know what I was ready to do? And of course, it wasn't your fault.
I think that's really important to have people talk authentically about their own experiences and to, like, respect what other people's feelings are. And I think that that's really important. And it's a little bit different than Nick Cannon's talking about an experience that he wasn't really in the decision making. And this is somebody talking about her own experience. And I thought that was really a bit of a contrast.
What strikes me about this song is that it's her autobiography, so she's deciding to sing about major life experiences. The first is her violent father and the murder of her mother. The second is, you know, obviously a significant love. And the third is her abortion experience. And what that says to me is that, you know, that abortion experience is on par with her major life experiences. And it shows it's not just a passing decision that people are making. It's a decision that is considered like any other major life decision. And yet, when it comes to pregnancy, I think people's opinions get heightened and very laced in their own judgments about what people should or shouldn't do. And so with this, it sounds to me like she's still questioning, was I ready for you? Could I have done this? And did I make the right decision? And you're still in my heart and I will, you know, hopefully get to meet you again. And there's, I can hear the pain in it. I can hear her kind of struggling with it, and yet we all know her now as Nicki Minaj. Like, this is the life that she had. Not that it's the life that she wouldn't have had, but who knows, you know? So I hear that reflection, and I think that that's an important, something important that we don't hear a lot about. And like Samara said, I think the fact that this is her experience just makes that all the more valid and just creates the space for, yeah, you know, let's have more women sharing their experiences. And hopefully we can take off that layer of shame eventually so that they can just share like what the experience was like for them without all of the messages that they're getting about who they are, depending on which decision they make.
Mm-hmm. There has to be a lot of culture shift around this in particular and respecting people's decisions and supporting them to make the decision that they truly want to make. Whether it's having a child, not having a child, placing a child into adoption, adopting a child, surrogacy, just really supporting people in the decisions that they're making for themselves.
Because they're going to make them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, depending on what state you live in and how much access you actually have to all your choices, you know, I feel like people make the decisions anyway, and instead we just live in shame and fear and isolation. It's not, you know, like you said, 1 in 3 women will have an abortion in their lifetime.
I don't know. I guess there's just something about pop culture that really takes the nuance out of real people's lives.
I just appreciate representations that show that people make, like you were saying, that show the nuance. People make decisions based on their own lives and everything that they have to consider in their own lives and how it impacts their family and a number of different things. It's not just, this is what I think politically, so this is what I'm going to do in my personal life. Like, how often does the political actually determine the personal? It's usually the other way around.
Up next, it's not just in songs. Reproductive health issues show up in TV and movies, from Dirty Dancing to Juno. But does it matter?
So the fictional characters are actually important for a number of reasons. One is that abortion is a very common experience for American women. 1 in 3 women will have an abortion in their lifetime. Millions of women a year experience getting an abortion, and yet it's something that relatively few women talk about. So that makes the stories of fictional characters very important.
That's Gretchen Sisson.
My name is Gretchen Sisson. I'm a sociologist at ANSWER, which is Advancing New Standards in Reproductive Health at the University of California, San Francisco.
Sisson thinks about this question a lot. She says the way abortion is shown on screen does have an effect on us.
So you might not know that your friend of a friend got an abortion, but you might watch that episode of Sex and the City where they're talking about getting abortions.
What are you going to do? You're not even going to consider having it?
This is not in my plans right now, and I really feel awful talking about this in front of you.
Then I'll leave.
No.
You can just sit here and have your abortion talk.
Come on, Charlotte, please sit down. Oh, she didn't mean it. All she can think about right now is babies.
She makes me sound so...
Don't do that. Okay, it's less than a desirable situation, but it happens. We've all been there.
I haven't.
I've had 2. Carrie, how many of you had?
1.
Oh, right. That waiter at TGI Fridays.
TGI Fridays? Please, can we not make this worse than it was? He was a waiter at the saloon.
And so those stories of these fictional characters become really powerful for how we think and talk about abortion and how women make these decisions.
After the break, if films and TV can have such a significant effect on how we think about abortion and reproductive health, what does that mean for younger viewers?
You're listening to Making Contact, a production of the National Radio Project. Because of generous support from listeners like you, this show is distributed for free to radio stations in the US, Canada, Australia, and South Africa. Find out how to donate, download shows, or get our podcast. Go to radioproject.org, like us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter. Our handle is making_contact. You're listening to a special Making Contact edition looking at how abortion is portrayed in pop culture.
What about youth? What do they think about these issues? Making Contact's Luna Olavaria Gallegos sat down with Ratima Utch, a youth activist at Forward Together, a nonprofit. They talk about how reproductive decision-making is portrayed on the small screen.
We're going to play a clip from the Netflix original show House of Cards. It's a popular series about a political couple in Washington, D.C.
Did you terminate the pregnancy?
If I said yes, my husband's political career would be in jeopardy. My faith would be questioned, likely my life would be threatened. But I won't feel ashamed. Yes, I was pregnant, and yes, I had an abortion.
Can you describe what we just heard?
So, to protect her husband's political career, she lied and said that she was sexually assaulted rather than like the real reason that she just didn't want to have the baby.
We just saw Claire, the vice president's wife, admitting to having several abortions, also to not being ashamed of those abortions.
Mm-hmm. No, it'll look like I am ashamed. I'm not, and I won't.
Nothing you can say will make this any better. I'd rather do
what I'm not going to run from this.
What are your initial thoughts?
I think definitely the not being ashamed part really stuck out to me as well. But I think it's just, when I watched this video, I thought that it's really a shame to me that people's personal lives are so stigmatized and like broadcasted, especially when you're in the limelight. Like the interviewer is very much making it seem like she did a bad thing when it was like a decision that her and her partner made. And to the point where she had to lie.
So you mentioned, especially for people who are in the limelight, having to lie.
Yeah.
How do you think the identity of her character influences the way the audience on the show and in real life reacted to her abortion?
I think her identity definitely influences the audience members, because I feel like watching a show where the character is like an older white woman, wealthy, it makes it seem very unrealistic. Makes it kind of unrelatable, but it's like so interesting you still have to watch because it's like drama.
So I do have another clip, and it's from the Hulu original show East Los High, and that show is in its second season.
I'm just so torn about what to do. I don't think I'm ready to have a baby. I'm just so scared right now.
That is a very natural feeling with unplanned pregnancy. We will support you in whatever decision you make.
What if I decided to get an abortion? How does it work?
Well, there are two kinds of abortion in the US, in-clinic abortion and the abortion pill. The abortion pill can be used up to your 9th week of pregnancy and can take place at home.
Does it hurt? How do you do it?
So we just saw a clip of Jessie, the main character, talking to her doctor about the different options when it comes to having an abortion or keeping her child. What are your initial thoughts?
It was really informative. Like, those are questions that, like, I might have had or still have, like, from time to time. But I think definitely for, like, high school students and, like, middle school, those are things that they need to know.
For me, I think this show would have been really great to watch during sex ed or, like, even instead of sex ed.
I think the target audience is definitely different. Or for me personally, I feel like there was a lot of shows when I was growing up that was informational as well as entertaining. I've been watching a lot of Sister Sister. It's like a 90s show.
With Tia and Tamara.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites. And I felt like they talk a lot about body issues. They talk a lot about just like looks in general or issues that were like prevalent to them.
Do you think that could help in the way that society views issues like abortion?
I think it could definitely help, because I feel like the first step to like receiving information that's useful is to draw people in.
In a show like East Los High, the creators use a lot of stereotypical aspects of young Latinas. Mm. So for example, her shame around having an abortion. But with Claire, who's a white woman in a completely different class, she was not ashamed at all. How is this a problem?
think this is definitely a problem because it's showing, and I can see that like maybe the creators or the producers are trying to like depict like, I guess, real life situations. But at the same time, you know, when you put something out in the media, you have to know that there are like the audience is kind of looking up to these characters. And I feel like it would have been really nice to see Jesse as like proud as well.
As a TV junkie, as you called yourself, and also as a women's rights organizer, what do you wish to see in future TV?
I think I definitely wish to see more people of color on TV talking about things that are relatable and like current to today. Because I see a lot of hope for entertainment, but I think it's a slow process, and I think it's slowly but surely kind of moving along. I have high hopes. I'm being optimistic.
Ratima Uch is an organizer at Forward Together. Thank you for joining me today. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
From the small screen to the big screen, what's the plight of characters who have to make a decision about what to do once they find out they're pregnant? Gretchen Sisson started looking at the history of abortion on film in December of 2013 and traced these representations back to the early 1900s.
So we initially started the project sort of based on this premise that's discussed in news media that abortion is largely absent from television. So that abortion is avoided, that when you have a character with an unplanned pregnancy that's very disruptive, she'll end up having a miscarriage or some other, or it'll be a false positive on the pregnancy test. She won't actually need to get an abortion, even if she considers getting one. So we sort of went into it with that premise that there are few abortions, abortions are avoided, and with the thought that we weren't going to find very many. We ran the search looking for every example of not just where characters got an abortion, but where characters considered getting an abortion. We thought that was important because we wanted to know what actually happened to these pregnancies where a character is thinking about getting an abortion. We found about 300, a little over 300. The earliest one went back to 1916. It was a silent film, very early in American cinema. So that was surprising to us, both the number and how far back we went in the timeline. That doesn't mean that there's a lot, right? We're talking about nearly 100 years of pop culture representations, and we only found about 300. We were expecting to find fewer. We found more than we thought we would. But when you average it out, it's really just a few per year. So that in and of itself was an interesting finding. We also found that characters who are considering abortion do get abortions about half the time that they're considering getting one. Then the second most common choice was parenting. And then there's miscarriages and pregnancy losses, and then there's adoption. We did find that adoption was very overrepresented as an outcome. Proportion-wise, very few American women of reproductive age will have a child that is placed for adoption. It's about 1%, whereas for TV characters, it's about 10%. So that's very overrepresented, and that spike in representations of adoption has really gone up in just the past decade. The film Blue Valentine is interesting in that she actually doesn't get an abortion. She changes her mind at the very last minute while about to get the procedure. And that's interesting for a couple reasons. One, in that the actor who's the doctor in that scene is actually an abortion provider. He's actually a physician. So they went into great detail to portray it realistically. And he's, when she changes her mind, he's very respectful. He steps out, leaves the room, gives her a moment.
Deeply. What I'm going to do is apply an instrument so I can hold the cervix still. Shouldn't feel this, maybe a little pressure, a little
more. Oh, sweetheart, are you okay?
Cindy.
Stop. Okay.
Stop. Sorry, and I will stop. All right, I'm sit up. Uh-huh. Okay, all right. You want me to just stop the whole procedure. Is that mm-hmm. correct? All right. I'm going to step out.
I think that's problematic because it really furthers this idea that women are changing their minds frequently at the last minute, whereas that tends not to be how women make these decisions. Some women do change their mind, but a lot are very confident in their decision. And when you see this sort of last minute indecision, it gives the sense that, well, maybe we do need laws like waiting periods. Maybe women do need to think about this a little longer. So while I like the Blue Valentine scene for a lot of reasons, I think that end result is a problem.
Why is it a problem? Why shouldn't they show the woman changing her mind when maybe it does happen sometimes?
I think it's a problem. If it were just that one example, it wouldn't be a problem. But we see a lot of times where the woman gets all the way to the clinic, she's about to get the procedure done, and then she changes her mind. Women do change their minds, but when you see that as a sort of recurring trope in these pop culture examples, and it's not something that necessarily resonates with what actual women are going through, it creates a sense of indecision as more prevalent than it is.
How does this impact them, do you think?
I think that these film and TV characters impact how we think about maybe not our own reproductive lives, because we know our own lives and we know that they're very complicated and we know the circumstances in which we're making any decision. But they could impact how safe we think abortion is, for example, when you are trying to make a choice for yourself. So we found that abortion was much more dangerous in film and television than it is in real life. For the research we've already done, we looked only at mortality outcomes. So did the women die after getting an abortion? And we found that about 15% of them did. That wasn't always as a direct result of the medical procedure. So they get an abortion and there's a complication from the abortion and they die from that. Some women killed themselves after getting an abortion or faced violence after getting an abortion. But there's this linking in these representations of abortion and danger of one form or another. And that can create the sense that abortion is riskier than it actually is. And that can infuse how people think about it when they're making their own choices or when they're talking to a friend who's trying to make a decision, or when you're thinking about the issue politically even. If you think abortion is very dangerous, then some restrictions on access might seem to make more sense. The reasons why pop culture representations are important is because of the stigma and secrecy that keeps real women from talking openly about their own experiences. So if real women are telling their stories, then these fictional stories and the social myths that they sort of adhere to become less important, and we're able to counter them with a more productive sense of what abortion actually looks like.
And that's it for this edition of Making Contact. You've been listening to Samara Azamiu, Alicia Walters, Gretchen Sisson, and Ratima Uch. Special thanks to the Mary Wolford Foundation, Bitch Magazine, Feministine, and the Media Consortium for helping to make this program possible. To find out more about ANSWER, Forward Together, and Access Women's Health Justice, visit our website at radioproject.org. That's also where you can download past shows and make a difference by supporting our work. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Our handle is making_contact. The Making Contact team includes Lisa Rudman, Andrew Stelzer, George Lavender, Laura Flynn, and Luna Olavarria Gallegos, our intern from Ithaca College's Park Center for Independent Media. I'm Jasmine Lopez. Thanks for listening to Making Contact.